From the studios of KPCW in Park City, this is The Mountain Life.
I'm Pete Stoughton.
And I'm Lynn Ware Peak.
Whether your mental or physical wellness brings you to the top of the highest peaks,
or you need a little help with the climb,
The Mountain Life, healthy living in the Wasatch. Oh, there is nothing like the art of storytelling when it's great and amazing stories. Our next guest is a longtime storyteller who has now formalized her skill in a book. Marielle Perso has long been known in the community as the Tooth Fairy. She brings the lessons and practices of good health, dental health, to all the young people in the community. And over the years, she has told stories to help distract young and old children. Yes, that's right. Young and old children from the reality of having their teeth worked on. And now she brings us her first children's book, Billy Braveheart. Marielle, welcome to The Mountain Life.
Good morning, and thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's so good to have you on. I'm just glad you're not working on my teeth.
No, I try to avoid that as much as I can.
Right.
Because you know what? Tooth decay is almost completely preventable.
That's right. And you have been so passionate about tooth decay and good dental health that it's just, at first, seems like the storytelling and dentistry does not go together. But then as I sit and think about it, you have a captive audience. And either they're stressed like me in the dentist chair with their hands clenched and their body, you know, stressed and muscles flexed, not because I'm big or anything, but you know, the idea of a storytelling dentist makes complete sense. So share with us how, for you, this came about, becoming a storyteller.
Well, yeah, it's so true that it's seemingly completely disconnected to be a dentist and a storyteller. It's a little bit like Brené Brown being a researcher and a storyteller. But you know what? When you're passionate about something, they have to come together, because stories are the way to connect with people. And for years, especially with children, I always wanted them, the children, to be comfortable in my chair. And I soon realized that if I redirected their attention to a really interesting story, my job became much easier in fixing their teeth. And some of these kids were so attracted by the stories that they would come back and ask me for a story before worrying about anything. And for the most part, they were totally relaxed in my chair. So storytelling has a very, very, very high value. At the time, though, I didn't realize it until I joined Park City Toastmasters, which is another story by itself. But storytelling is a big, big value-adding proposition to almost any profession, really.
And it's funny because you go to the dentist now with your children and there's TVs and there's things to distract, and it does work perfectly, but I now want to go and take my children to a storytelling dentist, and especially one with whom is so articulate and shares a story as beautifully as you do in Billy Braveheart. Before we talk about Billy Braveheart, I have to know, is this part of a series? Because you've worked so long as a dentist, you must have many, many characters.
I have many, many characters. I have a whole library of characters on my computer. And some of the characters are teeth, but there's a lot of other animals. There's cats, there's dogs, there's horses, there's all kinds of other characters. Billy obviously set the tone for the possibility of a series. I have not totally invested myself in the rest of the series yet, except for the story on teeth.
Mm-hmm. How nice. Mm. If you're just joining us, our guest, excuse me, is Marielle Perso, and her new book is Billy Braveheart. And Marielle, we met at Toastmasters, since you mentioned Toastmasters. So I've been hearing you tell stories for a long time. And from your ever so slight accent and your French name. We must mention that you are Québécoise from the great northern land of Quebec. And I love that you bring your homeland into the book. You talk a lot. It's sort of set, partially anyway, in Montreal. Tell us a little bit about that. You must feel very connected still to Quebec.
I am. You have to know that the province of Quebec itself has a very unique culture. And language and culture are connected to one another. From that point of view, I miss Montreal and the province of Quebec because it's very unique of its very unique culture and language and sense of humor as well. Mm-hmm. So yes, I miss that. And Billy Braveheart actually takes place in Ontario, but the main character is obviously the mouse, who's from Ontario as well. But the main character, Jeanne, the main human character, is from Montreal, yes.
Yes. I'm glad you pronounced Jeanne for us, because I kept seeing the name and I forgot how you pronounce that in French. So, yes. So thank you. Well, I also feel sort of guilty knowing the scores of little mice who have met their end at my hand in my house. They're not very welcome creatures, but how did you twist the story into, you know, actually wanting to save a little mouse in your house?
Well, this is it. And I hope that in the book I have described that conflict well, because nobody wants to have mice in their house. On the other hand, when you discover an injured mouse, what do you do with it? And this is where the conflict starts early in the book, as Jeanne discovers a mouse that's in a trap, but it's still alive. And this is how Billy comes to live in Jeanne's kitchen for 4.5 years. So it's a very long-lived mouse, Billy.
The relationship is an interesting component that you have. The family or the husband and wife are antagonists in the story, but not quite, because you develop them into this affectionate relationship eventually.
Right. He's a man of a few words. Very down to earth, doesn't express his emotions. And Jeanne struggles with that, because Jeanne, the main human character, has been uprooted from her beloved Montreal. And she now lives in the country, where she feels that she doesn't quite belong. And she is very emotional about the old house that is cold, that has flies, that has bats in the attic, that has mice walking between ceilings and roof. And she's almost overwhelmed with all this. And at times, there is some friction between her and Franz, her husband. But through Billy, they all come closer. Jeanne discovers friendship with Billy the mouse. And as that friendship evolves, you can feel that Jeanne and Franz are coming closer to one another. So in many ways, this is a story of courage and resilience and friendship and love.
And it's
amidst the real life of conflict, of how do you balance having a mouse as a pet and continuing to believe that it's not right to have mice living in your house. and we live with this kind of conflict every day. How do we live with one another without causing each other to become ill? How do we come together in circumstances where we're not supposed to come together and one of us becomes ill? We always have to weigh the pros and cons. And this book is an attempt at showing how one can actually find balance amongst all these emotions and all these challenges that life throws at us.
And it's so easy, and I think you highlight this in your book, for us as humans to allow that conflict to be articulated so easily with animals. And then when we bring it to humans, we struggle. And I loved how you showed in your book how Billy faced his obstacles, his conflicts. He showed courage, and it's almost like he handed off, you know, his gift to her was that the courage, the ability to face those fears and those conflicts when he does pass away is given to, yep, to the wife.
That's right. And you have to remember that this is based on a true story. So Billy was my mouse. And
no.
Billy taught me so many lessons on courage and resilience and friendship. He was an amazing little character. And it's amazing for me to hear myself say something like that about a mouse. But this little mouse deserved to have a last name of Braveheart. This is Billy Braveheart. He was a very brave mouse.
If you're just joining us, we're speaking with Marielle Parisot. She's a local resident, the Tooth Fairy, and now a children's book author of Billy Braveheart. This is your first venture into the children's literature genre, Marielle. And I was wondering about how you choose vocabulary. I saw some vocabulary in there that I think children for whom this book is written, it may be sort of advanced vocabulary, like you talk about, yeah, the smells emanating, and somewhere you talk about a seed cache. You know, young children won't know what that is, and I'm, right, wondering if you made a conscious decision about that. I'm going to teach vocabulary.
I did, Lynn, and thank you so much for asking that, because I learned that from little five-year-old kids that came to my practice of dentistry. And they could, and still can, pronounce names of dinosaurs better than I can.
It's so true.
And I think that in some ways, we are blind to the capacity of children to learn. The idea is to present the stories to them in such an interesting way that they will be eager to find out the meaning of the words they don't know the meaning of, or they'll figure it out. And these lessons are lessons that are far better retained than lessons learned in a classroom where they feel bored and they're looking out the window and they're not fully present to the teaching. So again, the value of storytelling is so high for me. And yes, the use of more advanced words, it was intentional. It is intentional.
I like to hear that. I had a feeling, because I've heard you speak so many times, that would be the case. So wonderful to hear. You also tie in dental health with Billy's medical condition, this tumor that grows, and it renders his teeth misaligned. And obviously, yes, this, you know, it's a tie-in there. So can you talk about that?
This is also true. You know, that scene where Jeanne is in the kitchen and she hears a peanut drop to the floor and she goes, "Oh, here, little guy, you dropped this one." And that went on for weeks and weeks in my own kitchen, where Billy seemed to struggle with his peanuts. And at first I didn't pay much attention to that. But then I saw the swelling on the side of his face. And then I asked Franz to check it out. And this is all based on true facts, really. We never had a biopsy done because, especially living in a rural area in those days, you don't take a mouse to the vet. Maybe today you do, but in those days, you don't take a mouse to the vet. So we didn't know for sure, but from my knowledge and my husband's knowledge, that it was quite obvious that this was cancer and there was nothing we could do except to offer palliative care. So switch from peanuts to peanut butter, from apple and apple seeds to applesauce and stuff like that to help Billy continue on with his life. Despite the fact that now his teeth were so much out of alignment that he could no longer eat. It was tough. You know, I cried. I cried when Billy passed.
Well, I love that I'm learning that you were older into your career as you had met Billy. I was kind of hoping, personally that Billy was a childhood experience for you, and that was the reason you became a dentist.
No. I was already a dentist when Billy happened in my life.
Okay.
And I think it was an encounter that was meant to be. I learned so much from it, and I grew from it. And it was an amazing experience. And it took a while for me to see myself as a storyteller. As I mentioned earlier, it's only when I joined Park City Toastmasters that I learned more about storytelling and how to put words together to be interesting to an audience, that it dawned on me that maybe I should write Billy's story, because it's a very unique story and it needs to be shared, because there's so many layers to it as well. It's more than just the story of the mouse. It's about courage, and it's about growing.
Mm. Well, and in, you know, it being a story and that you're a new author, this component of illustrations, I'm curious to pick your brain on, you know, you could have gone for a very caricature version of a mouse. You went with a very modest, you know, simple illustrations. Did that just, was that because of your emotional attachment with Billy as a real life character, and you really try to embody him, or just another motive?
The cover in particular was really important to me, because I feel that Billy lived most of his life with some handicaps. He was missing a leg and half of his tail. And I felt that it was really important to depict Billy as close as possible with a stance or a position, a body position, that expressed courage. And to also obviously display that he's missing a limb, and and part of another limb. That was really important to me. And I really wanted to have the illustrations be really part of the soul of the story. This is not a comic book. I think it's an important book.
Mm. Well, the illustrations are lovely. You had two illustrators, Sean Souza and Sam Hamilton.
Yes.
A wonderful book. I always am interested in hearing how you found your illustrators.
I was lucky, actually. Sam is from Canada, and I immediately liked the illustrations he made. And unfortunately, I lost contact with Sam, and the illustration he had done for the cover no longer fitted my vision for the cover of the book, and I was not able to reach Sam back. With the help of the mascot book team, I was able to find another illustrator. They gave me a list of illustrators with their work, and we worked together in finding Sean D'Souza, who made the illustrations for the cover of the book.
Mm. Nice. Well, Marielle, you are also known for your TEDx talk in Salt Lake City, and about dental health and about teeth. And it's interesting to me that something could attract so many viewers. But it's funny that our teeth, you know, it's something that are so important. I really don't like to go to the dentist. And I'm thinking, I love my dentist. He's a wonderful person. But he's the kind of dentist who asks you questions while his hands are in your mouth.
Yes. They train us to do that in dental school.
And then you try to answer.
If you fail that class, you can't be a dentist.
But tell us about your TEDx quickly before we let you go.
Okay, I'll tell you quickly about my TEDx. Teeth need to be connected to the rest of the body. This is super, super urgent. Teeth are meant to be sentinels to the human body. And the day we connect them back to the body, the day oral health becomes part of overall health, we will save lives. Teeth can save lives. In a nutshell, this is it. I'd like to go back to my hopes for the next step, because as you know, I'm an ambitious person. For Billy, what I would really like to see is a Disney animated picture or a Pixar animated picture made out of the story. Because I feel it has the different layers that Disney and Pixar always have in their animated pictures. There's a story for the kids, there's a story for the parents, and there's a bigger story, a lesson to be learned for everyone. So I that's my big wish. But my big next step is Pixar or Disney.
That is ambitious.
And we heard it here on KPCW. So thank you, Marielle. And you have a brave heart, too. And we thank you so much for your courage. And we're rooting for you. Just
thank
like
you.
Teeth.
Marielle, can we find this? I know we can find it online, but can we also find it locally, say in our local bookstore, Dolly's?
I am going to work on that. I actually tried to connect with Dolly. I haven't connected yet, but that's certainly what I'm working on, and to have the book available locally in local bookstores and in Salt Lake City as well. So I'm currently working on that. I've been super busy, and this is on my list of things to do. So it will come locally available, the hard copy of the book. And it's available on Amazon for pre-order. The release date is April 6th, and you can order it on Amazon, pre-order it on Amazon right now.
Wonderful. Marielle Parisot, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. Have a nice day.
Oh, Billy Braveheart.
If she was my dentist, I would go... Quarterly. I can't commit more than quarterly.
No. So. And it's been a long time since she's actually practiced as a dentist. She's been working on this dental health, you know, community dental health or oral health. And she's done great things. I know that's how you know her, through the Christian Center.
That's right. And we were able to give every child in Park City and Summit and Wasatch County toothbrushes and toothpaste, thanks to the Tooth Fairy, Marielle. But the story is beautiful, and it's really well written. And, you know, I would just love to... I'm going to go talk to my dentist about his stories. Because I hate that they always ask questions.
I know. Why does that happen? Oh, going to the dentist. And I do love my dentist, but, oh, goodness, I don't want to go there twice a year like I do.
Because they ask so many questions.
For that reason. All right. We have a few more underwriters to play. You've been listening to KPCW Park City. This is The Mountain Life.
Thanks for tuning into this episode of The Mountain Life.
If you enjoyed the show, make sure you subscribe, rate us, and leave us a comment.
If you have an idea for a future show, email us at mountainlife@kpcw.org.
We hope you'll bring your green smoothie and join us next week for The Mountain Life.